Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
So when you talk about God's plan, it has always been that the you and I, as people, right, are found compassionate to one another. And today's lesson, we are looking at the unique superpower of singleness and the freedom of undivided purpose, right? That we can do what we want to do without any challenges hindering us except the obstacles in front of us. While the world and sometimes even the church sees singleness as a lack of responsibility, the biblical perspective suggests it's actually a high calling of undistracted devotion. So let's explore the incredible opportunities that are available for singles into service, into legacy, into impact, that are uniquely available for those who aren't currently managing a spouse and dealing with families and kids and so forth, from building chosen families to pursuing radical missions. We are discussing how to leverage the season of singleness, for a kingdom impact that outlasts any wedding date. And joining us is Pastor James Vudamfunisi. Good morning to you and welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
No, we're doing all right, yeah. Pastor. Trusting you're okay.
I'm fine. The morning is great.
We're grateful for that. We're grateful for that. Muruti, we are looking at this topic of singleness. And today our conversation, taking a bit of a twist into the idea of their superpower, what the singles, I mean, it's Paul who mentions in the word, right, to say, hey, when you are single, oh, I wish everybody could be this, because you can be more focused. What are these undistracted opportunities for service, especially as Paul identifies them?
Indeed. In 1 Corinthians 7, I guess that's where the focus is coming from. And Paul is advising unbelievers that those who are married, of course, are preoccupied with the affairs of their family, while as a single, do not have much.
Pastor's line dipping there as we are trying to have a conversation. Zisuganje, hey. Apologies for that. Let's see if we can try and reestablish that line so that we have Mfundisi sharing with us what this very important conversation is based around, especially this chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, right, where we're trying to hear what it means to be more focused, what it means to have this purpose, what it means to have this drive, this unabated ambition that you can work out. And the pastor is trying to just bring those to the fore. Mfundisi, we have you back.
Yes, sorry, I did notice that I was out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was saying, obviously the focus is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul is encouraging believers on the freedom that comes with being single to go about doing God's ministry. And let me emphasize, even as we are looking at this topic, we are in no wise making marriage inferior, but we're just trying to build, you know, the confidence that a single person can have towards their participation in ministry. Mm-hmm. So one of the invaluable lessons that we can look at that Paul, in a sense, highlights is that, number one, when a person is single, they have, their availability to carry out mission is greater than one who is married. Mm-hmm. In the sense that, you see, ministry can involve you going to foreign fields, new places where you may need to start afresh. It's easy when you're alone to do that. I can move from one town for the sake of ministry to another and not, you know, have the challenges of thinking, well, how will my children adapt? How will my wife feel about this? How about her own personal life? It's about you as a single person. You can make those decisions. You can make those movements. And so there is that freedom that you have to travel. And then there is also a probability of a deeper focus towards your spiritual life and even your prayer life. Mm-hmm. When you are home, I have noticed this personally as a married person, that my prayer life, my individual prayer life, kind of dwindles down a little bit because of, you know, the activities at home. There would be a time when you can just wake up anytime, you can just withdraw from whatever you're doing at any time and go and pray. Mm-hmm. And then come back. But when you are with family, you are discussing, you just can't easily just pull out and say, true, go and pray. Of course, true, not that your spiritual life can automatically go down. There will be moments when, you know, through family prayers and all that, married people can build their spiritual life. But there is that autonomy that you get to have when you're just single. That you can carry out without it. Thirdly and lastly, perhaps, is how one can respond urgently to community needs.
Mm-hmm.
As a minister, as a missionary, as a Christian, we know that our existence is to impact the community. And at times when you are married, you know, again, there are many reservations, financial reservations, because when you are married, there is double duty. I mean, if I am getting a 10,000 perhaps on my salary, and I'm married, and there is a single person getting a similar 10,000, our impact towards community needs in a financial sense are going to be totally different, because he does not have larger responsibilities I have. So there is that freedom that comes with ministry. And this is what Paul is trying to tell us when he says those who are single, they can be more focused with a mission than those who are married. Because the ones who are married, it's like there will be a 50-50 thing, because it's an injunction from God. When you have a family, you take care of them. So there is the preoccupation of taking care of family, while the other one is kind of free to do anything.
Kind of free to do anything. Yeah, let's hope. And that is the case. Thank you so much for that. And maybe touch a bit, Muruti. I've got a comment that just came through. But before we address the comment, I wanted us to just look at that flexibility and opportunities that are available for singles to reach out to their communities. What are those exactly?
The opportunities that are available for singles to reach out to their community.
Mm-hmm. And how they can do that. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, One of the greatest opportunities, I would say, is time. It may seem like maybe a simple statement, but time. You see, community, impacting a community requires your time, requires your attention, requires, you know, focus. And oftentimes, when you're a single person, it's easy for you to work around those ideas. You can have time, for instance, to carry out community surveys. You can have time to meet with people on the grassroots, discuss with them, build with them, do discipleship programs with them, nurture them. And so those are some of the opportunities available. Your availability based on time is huge. If you look at most of the ministers who are doing ministry work and they are married, they are always intentional to carry out discipleship programs among us, the youths.
Okay.
The reason is simple, because the youth is the workforce that has got the time, because most of them are not committed in terms of marriage. So if I can have time to disciple my youths at church and then send them out into the community as workers, as doing missionary work, the reason is simple. They will be carrying out my work because they've got more time than I do. So that's one of the opportunities. I think the greatest one is time, because when we talk of community availability, the question that comes to the ground is, do you have the time to impact your community? You may have the skill, but if you don't have the time, then your skill is irrelevant.
Yeah.
So time is a very, very important factor.
No, that is true. That is true. And thank you so much for that. Now, talking about singles, earlier on, we were asking a question to say, what is it that churches misunderstand and really can't really understand fully and fathom fully. There's a comment that came through on our WhatsApp line, and they're saying, good morning, Brother Derek. Good morning to you, my sister. The saddening perception and reality about being single is that these married women would just show some insecurities toward us, as if we are in church to take or lure their men. They have so much nasty attitude against us, especially if you are new in a certain church. They just, if then they know you're single, you can just see the faces. I don't know. What would be your response to that, Moritz?
I think I've got two thoughts from that, because that question is like a question. It's like a coin question. It has two sides.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, there is a saying that there is no smoke without fire.
Okay.
The honest reality is that, in as much as I am a minister and I appreciate God's church is, you know, God's body that he's carrying out ministry, but God's church is not perfect,
mm-hmm.
Because of the members. the owner of the church is perfect, but we, the members, are not perfect.
Yeah.
So one side of the coin to that statement, which is a real reality, is we have seen increasing cases, and not only in the church, even in the community at large, where illicit relationships are established between the married and the young unmarried. For whatsoever reason, unconverted minds would prefer going that way. And it is that one of the reasons, I'm not saying the only reason, one of the reasons perhaps that fuel that perception in the mind of married women, not so much only that the youths are after their men, but also the fact that they know who their men are and the potential of their men to be after their women. So most of those insecurities may not even be based on a single person, because if a married woman knows the husband from home, doesn't have any doubts, they will not be, worried when they go to church. But the problem springs out from the home, where the husband has exhibited some traits that are questionable in the mind of the wife. And so she assumes that wherever he is in a crowd where there are many ladies, especially young ladies who may seem to be more appealing, that he may go that route.
But isn't that the problem, though, Muruti? Because I want us to hear what the comment is saying, right? To hear what the comment is saying. The comment is speaking towards the women who have insecurities. And I like how you've now come to the fore, because earlier on in your response, you said there's no smoke without fire. I mean, no fire without smoke, or something of that nature. I don't know which one comes before which one. But you made it sound as though, no, the women have a right to be suspicious because indeed there's illicit relationships. As though somehow these ladies are the ones to blame. But you are making it right now to say, no, the problem is not the lady. The problem is the man. Because I'm not sure if the ladies are coming to the men and say, hey, are you happy at home? And is your wife making sure that you have taken care of? I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
It's the men who are saying to these young women, because they are available or because they are single, let me rephrase, then they want to start illicit relationships. Now the question is, but what's that poor lady got to do with anything? Must they stop existing because your husband can't control himself?
No, and that's obviously the point is no, and that's what I was trying to emphasize, to say where the whole issue is coming from is not so much from the. Now, I don't want to relieve the single people entirely of their responsibility, because the other side, that's why I say there are two coins. The other side is that there are also some young ladies who get to do that, who get to throw themselves on married men. Now, here is where I was coming to. The point, I believe, is this. The opinion that the women might be having, and this is why I emphasize that most of it is streaming from the homes where they're coming from and their uncomfortability with their perceived unfaithful husband.
Mm-hmm.
That must not stop the single person who is in the church from being confident about themselves, based on this one fact. That inner confidence comes with the understanding of who you really are. There is a challenge. You will feel the guiltiness consistently when you are involved, quote unquote, in these illicit relationships. But if you are not involved and yet there is this general perception, number one, I would advise that you shouldn't put your head deep into the sand of what other people may think about you. The reason is simple, my leader.
Muruti, we can all agree. No, but Mfundisi, I think don't bring it as though they are just having these thoughts in their minds. I mean, it's a small community. It's a very closed space. When you talk a church, you are sitting in pews right next to each other. When you talk church, you are seeing each other every week, maybe even two or three times a week, when you consider maybe soup kitchen, and you talk about the Wednesday's prayer meeting and so forth. And here you are, every time you see this person, your face is ugly because they are a single person and you feel your husband is going to ask them out. How is that the lady? How can you say, no, don't concern yourself? I just feel like maybe we are trying to absolve people who must be responsible from their responsibility. I got a comment coming through. This must be a married woman, this one. Such questions come from a Jezebel spirit. Haibo, haibo, bazalani, kuzegani. Take care of your own business, please. another comment coming through here from our TikTok Live. We've got a comment coming through. It's the pastor's line dipping. Pastor has disappeared now. Let's see if we can try and get him back. Apologies for that. We've got a comment coming from a sister. I think it's a sister, Shugu, saying here, with my experience, the problem is not the single ladies, but the men who are the problem. Thank you. The men are the problem. They are the problem. Indeed, I agree with that one there. The men are the problem, but you know, the women, the single ladies are taking flak for it. And surely you failed to go and discipline your husband at home. Now you'd think this small girl, this young lady, this young woman is the one that is responsible for the challenges in your home. Oh, come on, Bazarane. Come on. Pastor, I don't know. What's your take? This one is saying it's a Jezebel spirit.
Well, for me, I still stand on the fact that I mentioned that it's a two-sided thing.
So you feel that the women, the young women, the single ladies are throwing themselves out on and making themselves available to the married man?
There are some who do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying this from practical experience. I have a friend that I was working with who was telling me, so she's married to a person who sings, right?
Okay.
And they're seated as young people around, during lunchtime at church. And this was quite a crazy story. And I tried to ask her, is this true? And she said, this is definitely true. So they were discussing on how to satisfy a man in bed, right? Now, she's married, the friends are not. Mm. And the conversation, to cut it short, leads them to begin to confess. The friends begin to confess after she mentioned that she has not noticed any traits of her husband cheating. So the women could not believe. They said, he would definitely cheat on you, just give him time. And here is what came out of their mouth. Listen, us, every single pastor, young pastor that comes to this church, mm-hmm. married or not, mm-hmm. we make sure we try to find a way to get in bed with him. Mm. Now, that's a minority, but there is that mindset. And this is what I was saying, it's a two-sided coin. Because here is where it becomes two-sided. If there is a single young lady with that mentality at a local church, and there is me who is a married man who's committed myself to the vows, if I am spiritual, when such a young lady comes, I shouldn't just fall prey to it. Yes, temptation is high, but if I'm a spiritual person who is mindful of my home, I will stand my ground, and peradventure, being the elder person, it is my responsibility to find a way to nurture that young lady. And this is why I was saying it was two-sided, because whereas the responsibility hammers the men more, is that if a young lady in such a condition comes to you and you submit to them, the problem still is not the young lady entirely. The problem is largely on your part, because the only reason you've submitted is that you are weak. There is a problem with you. So
you're like Samson. You feel your power diminishes at night.
Exactly. and then here is the mindset, my leader. Yeah. The challenge is our women are raised up with a very bad notion. Here in Zambia, there is a statement in Bemba that says a man's adultery does not destroy a home.
Hey,
so the woman who is married has been built to accept that the husband, even when he is wrong, he is not wrong. So how does she deal with the pressure of the husband's unfaithfulness, which he sees clearly? The best way is to shift the blame so that she doesn't get to feel guilty about the husband's unfaithfulness, but rather finds a young lady's life whom she can destroy, youth's lives who they can put in an uncomfortable position by shifting the blame.
Phew.
So it's really a complex situation that I would actually propose that young people would not be in the best condition to even resolve it. The best is we as pastors who are leaders of the church, we need to have intense mentorship programs, intense counseling sessions, and guide these families, because most of the breaking of these families, there are some young ladies who experience this even right there in their home. You see, a husband molests, or rather begins to abuse a niece or a sister to the wife who comes into the home that they are taking care of, and she goes to report to the wife, and the wife says, hey, look at how my husband is respected in the society. How do you think we can come out and say this? And so they keep it within themselves. You see that? And you find some even telling the young lady, it's because of how you've been dressing that this has happened to you. So the reality is, it's the same picture, even in the church context. There may not be physical violence happening, but there is emotional damage because of shifting blame. And majority of it comes from the women having this perception that, well, my husband is this glorious figure in society whom we cannot diminish, whom we cannot destroy. The reputation cannot be destroyed. And maybe he wasn't even willing, but she just threw herself on him.
Which it's is not his fault.
Sadly not. So men are to blame greatly.
But it's emotional damage. Hey, it looks like this one needs a Bible perspective, Muruti. We might need to call you back for a much longer discussion. Our time is out, but the comments are flying in.
Sure.
One comment coming through here says, the ladies are not always innocent, right? That's the other side of the coin, and that's what the pastor is referring to. Not all, but some. It definitely is not a reason, though, for all single ladies to be mistreated and treated as suspects. Yeah, this is a deep topic. We need to have a much more deeper conversation. We also have another discussion coming through saying, hey, Sikon Zagagubi, to be honest, we are worshipping in difficult constraints, right? To be honest, though, I understand your point that you're raising, Pastor, that they're saying this. I think this one is coming from the single ladies as well. Another comment coming through, Muruti. Bati, me, I know women who take the pride in the fact that someone's wife is insecure about them. They love it when they come there and then they cause some heart attacks in homes. Do women really do this, guys?
Most of them, Muruti, let me just mention this in just a minute. Most of them, it becomes a coping mechanism. You see, when you've been subjected to a negative experience for so long, it's easy for you to begin to incorporate that negative aspect about yourself into who you are. So for some, it becomes a coping mechanism. There is nothing we can do about it. So let's just go ahead. Let's cheat with their men, because at the end of the day, they blame us for something that we're not doing. Now, that's a whole different conversation.
No, actually, we like need to have that. We need to have that conversation. I mean, listen to how this comment continues. They say that these ladies who are causing others to feel insecure say, they even come and are bold to say, she doesn't realize that I can have him if I wanted him. And they are proud of it. Yo, it's a problem. They continue to say, and remember, the wife loves that foolish husband, Shem. So, of course, she's going to view the other woman as the villain. It might not be right, but it is what it is. Love sometimes blinds us. And you must protect your own. And it's the enemy who is outside. They are the problem. Which I guess there has some sense to it. But I think let's leave it here, Muruti. What a point. What a poignant conversation. We definitely need a Bible perspective on this one, and we will be calling you for that. But for today, let's appreciate you and give you an opportunity to be relieved.
Thank you so much. That's a day.
Thank you so much, Mfundisi James Mvula, talking to us. Yo, what a session. What a session. And of course, continue the conversation. Text us right now if you've got more thoughts on this subject.
Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520. Or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.